Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Kevin Mullis is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. A lot to get to this morning, COVID and other matters. First, Doc, I wanted to ask you about something I read over the weekend concerning the rise of the variants. And apparently, a lot of the medical experts are saying that what's happening all across the country with the dominant new variant spreading at an alarming rate, it just means that we're going to have to learn to live with the virus, not hide from it, because there's going to be new variants at a regular cadence for the foreseeable future. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, Bob, unfortunately, that's going to be pretty much spot on. If you look at what's going on with BA4 and BA5 here and how it just kind of pushed, you know, Delta out of the way, and Omicron, we're looking at Omicron appears to be a strain that is going to continue to have new variants. Their newest one is 2.75, which people probably haven't heard a lot about, but yet it appears to be extremely contagious and is now found pretty much all the way around the world. So we'll see if that continues. But certainly BA4, BA5 are telling us, hey, we're here, we could still mess with you, and you're going to have to figure out a way to try to slow us or block us.
Are all these new variants a lot more infectious than the previous ones?
Absolutely. That's how, you know, this is survival of the fittest. This is Darwinism at its finest. Mm-hmm. You know, the changes that are made allow the virus to evade the vaccine, evade our immune system, and then continue to multiply. That's how it continues to survive. So it's not as virulent, so it's not, quote, you know, killing off its host, but it's allowing it to spread. And you can see, look what's going on in New York, look what's going on in Los Angeles, both of them extremely close to going back to masking. Matter of fact, in New York, indoor masking is, you know, it's not a requirement, but they're certainly making it a recommendation, as well as outdoor masking in large groups. So if that heads this way from either coast, we're certainly going to start to see more and more cases.
What sorts of new medical risks do the reinfections pose if you get COVID a second time?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the most interesting and important things that people understand is that, you know, people say, hey, you know what, I've been vaccinated, I had COVID before, I should be in a really good place. We have to understand that BA4 and BA5 have the ability to evade not only our immune system, natural immune system, but also the vaccines are not as powerful against them. So what we're seeing, there's a large study that came out of the VA. Now, the study was a little bit unusual because of a couple of things. It's very tough to do statistics on some of these, but it was a very select population. These are all VA veterans, you know, Army veterans and Navy veterans. So they were older and they had comorbidities. And it was mainly a male study, not a lot of females in it. And it did count individuals who tested at home or had mild symptoms. But what they found is that those individuals that have continued to get reinfected, each reinfection increases the chance of them having long COVID by a fairly high multiple. So even though we're saying, oh, these cases are mild, we have to understand that their opportunity to have long COVID is starting to increase more and more with these reinfections.
What about that new COVID-19 pill, relatively new, I guess, and are physicians using that widely now?
Yeah, what you're talking about is Paxlovid, you know, the antiviral medication. That is fairly new, but it's been out for a little bit now. The interesting thing about it, Bob, is it's a lot like Tamiflu, if everyone remembers or has heard of Tamiflu, the drug, the antiviral against influenza. Well, Paxlovid does the exact same thing against COVID. And probably the interesting thing that's happened there is, again, like Tamiflu, you have to take that early on in the infection for it to be effective. So let's say you started feeling symptoms on Thursday, Friday a little bit worse, Saturday you test, all of a sudden you're positive, now you're at Sunday. If you wait till Monday to get in to see your doctor, which is very difficult to do in many cases, you've missed your window to take Paxlovid. So the FDA, in its wisdom, said, you know what? We should allow pharmacists to prescribe this medication and dispense this medication without a prescription. So that happened last week in the hopes that these individuals in places like New York and Los Angeles, where the records are, you know, the cases are skyrocketing, that we get medication in these people that do, that does two things. One, slows down the replication of the virus, makes them less infectious, and decreases the spread. So something that the FDA did, that we made a wide move. Now, it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. People have to understand that the pharmacist may ask you questions about your health and your medications before just giving you the drug.
Interesting. It's our Monday morning house call from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. And before we move on to another topic, Doc, let me summarize what 90% of the listener emails and texts are as far as questions for you. Can I get the second booster now and then get the new vaccine when it's released? I'm due for my fourth COVID booster. Should I wait until the fall when the new vaccine comes out? What's the story on that?
Yeah, the story on that really is, one, if you're up for a booster right now, go ahead and get it, because we know that individuals who have been vaccinated and boosted, if they get BA4, BA5, are going to have a much milder infection and are going to do much better, because our goal, again, is to keep people out of the hospital and to keep them from getting ill. So just like we were talking with the reinfection, anything we can do to decrease that. Individuals that say, you know what, I want to wait till this new vaccine comes out, we all have to remember that those companies right now are not only manufacturing that, but they're also in the early testing phase. They both have told us, both the major manufacturers have told us, you know what, this is probably going to be late September, early to mid-October. So certainly we are going to be able to get that vaccine. So anybody who has comorbidities, anybody who is around anybody that's immunocompromised, please go ahead and get boosted now, knowing that you may get another shot in the fall. Someone that's just recently had BA4, BA5, I'll say in the last couple of weeks, all right, you probably have 60 to 90 days of immunity, and you might be able to wait a little bit. But other individuals should try to eliminate the possibility of getting this BA4, BA5, which is so rampant right now.
Let's talk about an opinion paper that came out recently, and I was very surprised to read this in light of mass shootings. You can assume all children have some level of PTSD, really?
Yeah, you know, interesting, Bob. The opinion paper came out and it got a lot of attention, and one of the reasons is, boy, PTSD is a big diagnosis. But the point I think that the individual is trying to make, and it's a highly respected pediatric psychiatrist, is saying, hey, with everything that's going on right now with kids, we need to make sure that everyone is aware of this and start to look for these things, because this is kids showing us the impact that what they see on the news or what they are hearing is very important as far as their mental health. So if you think about it, Bob, you know, schools and parades, two places that kids feel are extremely safe. They, in the back of their mind, hey, I got on the bus, I went to school. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the parade. And now we've had so much media coverage of these, and parents have to understand when the news is on and the kids are in the room, they are hearing these things and they're seeing these things. And certainly it's starting to impact kids. And that was the opinion paper, is, hey, start to look for these signs in these kids, because if they do have them, you know, they need to get some help, and they need to make sure that the parents are aware of what to look for.
I can tell you that it's not just young kids, young grandchildren. My 21-year-old was really affected by the Highland Park shooting. And also, you're talking about children in all areas, too, not just in the North Shore, who were close to that Highland Park tragedy.
Oh, 100%. And the reason this paper was focused on kids is because those, you know, 18, 19, 20s into their 30s, you know, those individuals should have the wherewithal to talk about it, or to at least be able to grab it a little bit and understand it better than some of these younger kids. These younger kids just don't get it, right? They're trying to figure out what's going on, and it's very difficult for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking for children who it will decline activities that they normally really enjoy, going to the park. Oh, I don't want to go to the park. You know, are they showing signs of isolation? Are they avoiding places? And then looking for, you know, signs and symptoms in kids that, boy, why is Timmy so angry today? Why he looks sad? I caught him crying. He seems irritable. So all those are ones where we need to, and parents really are not the experts to sit and talk with a child. So certainly contact your pediatrician, get in to see a child psychologist who is the expert on how to deal with this, because these can be lifelong changes.
Yeah, in some cases, doctors hear more than the parents, don't they?
Oh, 100%. For a couple of reasons. One, we know the right way to ask a question sometimes. And two, we're looking for some of those subtle signs in kids. Even though the doctor may only see a child two or three times in a year, that doctor, that pediatrician is seeing, you know, 20, 30 kids every day. And they get very astute as to how to pick up on signs and symptoms and how to ask questions that parents may not understand how to ask.
I always appreciate your expertise, Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Talk to you again next Monday morning. Have a good one.
You got it, Bob. Take care.